Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans. Number one, of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
We are back, Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, right here at the Casabella Design Group studios, and of course, the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And I am joined by the only live podcaster to bowl a perfect game and lead the NFL in receptions. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice.
Right. That's right, damn it. That's
it's
right.
It's starting to smell like football season, man.
That's right, man. I'll go out there and bowl 199 right now, Big Seth.
And 199? Kick all of our asses?
Yeah, left-handed.
Uh-oh, Chad's taking an issue with that.
Yeah, I don't want none of this smoke, man.
Hey, last time, last time we played, who won?
I don't know. Uh-oh. Did you?
Yep.
Well, you know, there's lanes right around the corner.
I don't think he's
going to
ask the question if that wasn't the answer.
There are lanes right around the corner from us right now, man. We can right after we get off here. I know you got – I'll go get it. We go get a game in right now. I got my shoes and all my balls with me right now.
I'll leave one ball. Let's ride.
All right.
What just happened? All right, I'm going to do my intros really quick because he's walking out the door. But I just mentioned Casabella Design Group Studios. Alvaro Freitas from Casabella Design Group is actually here in the building. So don't start talking trash about. Well, here he is making a quick appearance. There he is.
Hey,
my main man, Alvaro.
Alvaro in the building.
Finally making an appearance here on Fish Tank Live. Of course, we've got the legendary Savak. Made it in the photo finish. Joining us here. Chad Van Horn back from the Akon and Neo concert. He's
How
finally
about
recovered.
How about
from the
that?
Akon. He was locked up. But he's back here with us now.
Won't let him out.
Sun Sentinel columnist and the host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk, which is going to mean something again here pretty soon when the season starts. He is Chris Perkins. And our host tonight, as always, he opens up the keys and the door of the gym and lets us sneak in the back. the heart and soul of Dolphins Talk, Michael Leva. Fellas, I feel like we actually have something to talk about. We don't have to manifest Dolphins Talk. There are some things that are happening in Dolphins land. The rookies have reported. I want to talk to you. You know what? Let's start with that, Juice. Was it like that in your rookie year in 93? Did you guys report first and then the vets? Was it still the same setup?
No, we all came in together, man. You know what I mean? They threw us right in the fire, like, right away.
Yeah.
You know, we had to deal with, like, and then, I mean, I think there's, like, a little period now where they can't even put on pads, man. See, like, we put on pads, like, you know, in the locker room the first
night
day
before.
Out. Yeah, the night before we slept in our pads, it seemed like to me, you know.
Yeah.
But I know that's definitely not the case, man. But it was like as soon as they could put the pads on, they did with us. But it was right there with the veterans, man. And they used the mini camps all the way up through that point to get everybody adjusted. Yeah. There was no adjustment period at all for anybody. And so, yeah, man, it was like – it was so nice, though. I'm telling you this, Big Seth, because all the other stuff that we did leading up to – training camp, you know, we had mini camps. These guys have OTAs and all this stuff. You know, a lot of times back then, the off-season workout programs were people doing the off-season workout programs on their own. There's really nothing in-house like they have now where there's phases. These phases was not a part of what I grew up, like what I played under, because a lot of people just went back to California or Pennsylvania where I was at, or Ohio, and did their workouts, and they expected them to come into the mini camps or the camps in shape, in condition, you know what I mean? So it was a lot different then than it was now. And then John Gamble came on. Then you had to – all that became part of, like, your money. Your money became part of your workout. How many workouts are you attending in the offseason in order to get some incentive money? I'll tell you a quick story. Like, one time there was, like, a cruise for the Dolphins cruise where these players were going on a cruise, and they were going with a bunch of fans. And these guys – a lot of these guys needed a full week of workouts in order to collect their money.
Right.
So John Gamble had me handle the workouts on the cruise every single morning. On the cruise every morning, I had to handle the workout for the cruise for the guys so they can collect their money, you know. And John trusted me to go there and make sure these guys got, and these dudes got up, and they got up and they did a workout. Now, I'm not John Gamble when it comes to, like, getting these guys to work out. But we were running and lifting, and then we kicked it the rest of the day, man. And they did it. They did it happily, man. So, yeah. So it's a little different then than it is now, because I can only imagine, like, you know, some of these when the guys went home, they probably grinded it out. Because I'm gonna tell you this: some guys come to training camp to get in shape. Nowadays, you better have your ass in shape when you get to training camp. And I know these young guys, they should be scared as hell not to come in shape, come into camp in shape already. They better already be in shape, maintain while they were gone. While they're away, they better put that work in, because don't come in here trying to get in shape when you get here, because your ass will be way behind and you be in the doghouse immediately. And you don't want to do that as a young guy.
Well, no, definitely.
Just last time you said you showed up at camp and then you still went home. So I'm a little lost with that.
I went home at night to sleep, Chad. To sleep, Chad. You know what I mean?
He worked,
you know, people just take whatever you say. They just take little bites, you know, little pieces of it. You know what I mean, Perk? They don't take the whole thing and put it in context. They just
want to
take little
juice.
Pieces of it, and then they want to talk about it, you know? Right, Mike? I mean, am I lying? Like,
right. Out there trying to take your words and parse them.
They're correct, man.
Chad, it's good to know it's not just the media being accused of this.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's their counsel as well.
Right.
So, but all that's happening in the dark. Rookies report, it's not open yet to the media, not open yet to the public, but it will be open soon. But the big news, I think the big news that a couple of you guys said we should expect is that Jordan Brooks signed an extension.
Yeah.
So he was the last of the foundational pieces, as identified by John Eric Sullivan, to get an extension. We saw Achane get his money. We saw Brew get his money. There was speculation. Will it happen? Won't it happen? Will there be trades? If it hasn't happened yet, are they still entertaining trades? Chris Perkins, I heard you on the All Dolphins podcast say you felt very confident it was going to have to happen before training camp started. You didn't know when, but you felt that it would. And then Michael Leva, I have to say it, we did the crosstalk. We did the Dolphins talk, fish tank crosstalk.
1 month ago.
And Juice, not only did Mike say it would happen, he predicted the dang numbers.
Oh, I said 35 million fully guaranteed and between 16 and 17 million per season. And lo and behold, because me and John Eric Sullivan are like this, we're on the same wavelength. Lo and behold, it got, and Monday night, I did a show with Tom and I said it'll happen before camp. And 10 all hours that. Later, it's done. All so that. I was all over this.
I don't know who's, I mean, you got Adam Schefter, right? and you got, you know, Tom Pelissero is looking for work now, but you got Adam Schefter. Yeah. You got Michael Weaver, man.
Ian Rappaport. Schefter.
Hey, Seth, I think Mike's in the front office, man. He should be.
I couldn't do any worse than they have for all these years.
He is straight BSing us, man. He's acting like he's at home, man. He's Juice. In the front office. Maybe he's working from home or something, man.
Juice, we know where this is coming from, man, where everything's talked about. They're the same barber. They go to the barber shop. I mean, look at the haircuts. I think they're at the same barber shop.
Mike's in Syracuse. He's in Syracuse. We're crying
I
out.
Tell people that's, what
he's, that's where he says he's at, Big Seth. That's where he says he's at, Big Seth. We don't know where he's at, man. Yeah. He's working remotely somewhere, though.
He's in the press room. Uh-oh, Terry said someone's trying to take Perk's job. Let's go. Well, Perk, tell us, how important was it for the Dolphins to get the Jordan Brooks contract wrapped up?
Man, look, I think this was important on a lot of levels, as I wrote today, that, look, you start off with the fact that these are the three players that John Eric Sullivan said were the pillars of the franchise, right? Devon Achane and Aaron Brewer and Jordan Brooks, and you signed all three of them to extensions. And there was concern, you remember, in March, after Jalen Waddle got traded, that, ooh, is Devon Achane really going to be here? And you remember John Eric Sullivan said, my job is to listen to offers, so I'm going to listen to all offers. But he got the three pillars signed. That's a good message to fans. That's a good message to everybody in that locker room. Going beyond that, I think it's significant that they gave contract extensions to three guys who are very solid citizens, who are very good players, who are hard workers, unlike the previous regime, who gave contract extensions to Tua and Waddle and Tyreek. These are better contract extensions, and I don't mean to take a shot at those dudes, but I guess I'm going to have to, because I'm talking about the differences between the old regime and the new regime. And one other thing here is that I think that it's significant that they identified the core players in their first 6 months, right? John Eric Sullivan was hired on January 9th. Here we are on, what, July 27th, whatever today is. All three of those guys have been identified as pillars of the franchise, signed to contract extensions, and the good decisions, right? Zach Sealer is not a pillar, probably because of his age, right? Austin Jackson, not a pillar, probably because of his injury history. Patrick Paul, not a pillar, probably because he's a one-year starter. I like where they drew the lines and probably the reasons they drew the lines. Great job by this new franchise, by this new regime, I should say. I think they show that they can not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. Great job in signing all three of these guys.
Yeah, you know, Perk, you're so right about all that, man. And I think the reasons that other guys will probably fall in line for some contracts is because of the things that you talked about, injuries early in their careers, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that these guys – talked about these guys, and we said it today on the text stream, right, Big Seth? They said what they were going to do, and they did what they wanted, what they said. You know what I mean? And I like that about these guys, man. We've seen so much smoke blown up. You know what? You know what I mean? When it counts, yeah, Savak, I see that perked you up, didn't it? You go, you ready to ding my ass, ain't you? You know what I mean? He's ready, Sam. You see, he was like,
yeah, one hand on the buzzer.
Right. Instantaneously, he stopped, you know? But, you know, these guys have been what we've been waiting for in terms of, you know, just transparency. They're saying one thing and they're doing the same thing. You know, it's not one, they're not saying one thing and doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point now, we need them to be saying one thing and doing something else, because we don't need everybody to know our playbook. But when it comes to this right here, I do appreciate them taking care of the guys, you know, that they said that they coveted as pillars of this football team, you know. And Perk, you said it best, man. You couldn't ask for better guys to represent the organization. Right. And those are the guys that got to take care of. Not only they represent us off the field very well, but they represent us on the field very well. Right. And those are the guys that should always be taken care of when it comes to any professional sport, any organization in general.
Well, Juice, you know, I'm a big Larry Bird guy, and they said he was one of the greatest trash talkers ever because he would tell you exactly what he was going to do, and then he'd do it to you. I'm going to catch the ball in the wing. I'm going to take two dribbles over here to the elbow. I'm going off the glass, nothing. But, you know, and then he would do it, and everybody would be like, damn. Well, I think that's what John Eric Sullivan's been doing. Yeah. He literally has told us everything he's going to do, and we're so used to coach speak, GM speak. But it's all happening. I think the only thing that maybe, and I might tap into this a little bit in my try to tell y'all, the only thing that maybe skews from that a little bit is he talked about how his first round draft picks, he didn't need to swing for the fences all of the time, that he was okay with a double off the wall. And I think he did take a big cut at Caden Proctor, and hopefully it pays off. But other than that, like – but even that aligns. He said he likes big physical guys. He wanted to build from the inside out. So it's like everything he has said has – and it's so early, but it is refreshing, and it is kind of fun to watch it happen.
Yeah, it really is, man. And, you know, and like you said, we're in the beginning of all this. I can't wait for a training camp. I want to see in Perk, I can't wait for you to tell us how these guys are out there performing when they, you know, it's bad. Everybody, Jason Taylor said, you know, the underwear Olympics or whatever it is, big set. You know what I mean? That's great. You know, it looks great, but I can't wait to see these guys, how they react when they start hitting each other, when there's little thuds going on, not necessarily tackling, but thudding. I want to hear, are there going to be, you know, are there going to be pads popping, or it's going to sound like, you know, butterflies out there having sex. You know what I mean? It's like, what's it going to be about out there? You know, what kind of team are we going to have? Seth, you know what I'm talking about, Big Seth. You see the butterflies in your neighborhood. You live in Weston, man. You live in a beautiful neighborhood. There's a bunch of butterflies flying around. You see them pursuing each other. You can't hear anything, Seth. All you just do is see the activity. You can't hear anything. You just see the activity, and you're like wondering what they're doing. You know what the hell they're doing, Big Seth. I can't believe you acting like you don't know what the hell I'm talking about right here.
I mean, the butterfly capital of the world is right up the street, but I'm just not familiar with this scenario.
Right. Well, I'm just telling you what I'm talking about, man. I want to hear some when it's thud practice. I want to hear thuds. You know what I mean? And I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys act when there's, you know, and they're in half pads, when they're in full pads, whenever it is, man. And I think that it's going to be. I just want to make sure it's a physical practice that's held, you know, safely. I think it's going to be a physical practice. It won't be Club Med anymore around here, man.
Right.
It won't be Jimmy Johnson, you know, 2 days for 14 days straight
against
with full pads. It won't be none of that crap. You know what I mean? Survival of the fittest, and we killed everybody. We went in every season half healthy because of that dumbass dude, man. But that's a whole different story, man. You know, the NFLPA has got it. They got it hooked up a little bit better now. And I think the league really wants the best players to be healthy going into the season. But I just can't wait to get out there and hopefully hear some pads cracking, you know, even, you know, just on thuds. And I hope that there's a response. Don't get your ass hit and then not respond to it, man. I want to see some fights. I want to see all kinds of stuff out there, Big Seth.
Here's how you know, OJ.
What's that, Mike?
Here's how you're going to know. Last year, when they went up against the Lions in August, everyone who was there said, I've never seen a team lose a practice before. And the Lions clowned them, went up and down the field, pushed them around, beat them up. We can't lose a joint practice this year. We got to put up a fight against the Giants. I think Washington's the other one. Don't be losing no joint practices this year.
Right. That was embarrassing. And here's the thing about it. Go ahead, Perk.
No, you know, half and Sully want a physical, aggressive team, and we're going to see that in practices. However, here's one difference between them and other coaches. Half has said he doesn't want that second joint practice because that's the one that usually results in all the fights. One team got their butt kicked the day before, and then that pride kicks them the next day, and it's like, screw technique, I'm whooping his ass.
Right.
So that's an interesting – I've never heard any other coach take that perspective or take that approach, because usually it's like, all right, they whooped our ass the next day, we want revenge, or we whooped their ass, let's see if we can hold the field. He's like, no, one practice is enough. I think that's a smart approach.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but it's a different approach. It's another difference between this regime and the previous regime, and probably this regime and other regimes in the NFL. I don't know if that's a trend. We're going to see how he approaches training camp also, because you know the trend nowadays is the veterans don't do a whole lot in day-to-day practices. They get most of their work in the joint practices. They don't play much in the preseason games. Let's see if Sully and Half stick to that script or if they break off and do something different. I like different. I like.
Well, they only got different. Six veterans on the team, Perk. I mean, it's all
true.
That's true.
That's one of the things to keep in mind. But no, I'm right there with you. And look, this is what you get: teams that are exceptionally young, and teams that maybe are on the wrong side of the bell curve in the talent category, and the way they compete is to be physical, right? I mean, that, you know, it's that whole takes no talent thing and what can you control and what can't you control. So, no, I'm with you for sure. I definitely expect that to be.
You know what else, Big Seth? What else, Big Seth, is that with a new regime, you know, that's when all the guys have to go out there and work, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if this was their second year in, there are a couple guys they might not have to work. You know, some of these guys, they might give them a day off or two. But with a new regime, everybody's got to go out there and work. Everybody's got to go out there and show
make a first impression.
Yeah,
right?
You don't get that. You know, you don't get that luxury, especially if you're young guys. You know, I mean, we saw rookies getting days off under Mike McDaniel. What the hell is that about? You know what I mean? Real talk. You don't do that's not how it works, man. You know, I get some veterans that have been in there 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever it might be. But rookies getting days off? Are you out of your damn mind, man?
Yes.
You know, that was that part right there. Now you got a whole group of guys that where these guys were, you know, half and they have no, you know, allegiance to anybody. Maybe some of the free agents they brought in, maybe some of the draft picks, that's the only kind of alignment you'd have with some of these dudes. But everybody's got to go out there and work. They got to show and prove. And I like the fact that that's how things are going to be nowadays, you know, until these guys get their street cred, until they get up the point where, you know what, you've earned a day off. But I guarantee it won't be none of these young dudes. Ain't none of these young dudes getting no time off. Hell, you should have seen Urban Fryer and Mark Ingram and them taking time off, and I've got to run all the reps for scout team and shit.
Yeah.
Wake up, Devok.
Where are you at, man? How many can he get in?
Savok's over there swiping left. Yeah, yeah. Or swiping right.
Yeah, and so, I sure hope not.
So, I mean, them veterans, they earned that time off, man. There's no time off right now for these young cats, man. I'm looking for seeing, you know, I mean, within the rules, how much work that put in, man, because you've seen it out there, Perk. It was club med out here, man.
I think this
is – how do you get ready for football if you're not practicing football?
Yeah. And look, I'm not a big defender of Mike McDaniel. I will speak for him in this sense. I didn't agree with this, but he thought – for example, instead of running sprints at the end of practice, you would do better by running more plays in the last segment of practice. And I don't agree. I'm with you, Juice. Toughen up. I mean, tighten up your operation. Toughen up as a physical violence sport. You have to get these dudes ready. You have to hit. You have to do physical conditioning. You have to do aggressive things, and Mike McDaniel didn't do that. It was a different approach. Halfley and Sully are more old school. They are going to go with that more physical, aggressive approach, that more physical, aggressive style. I think it's going to work better. I'm looking forward to what they show us, because you look at, and as you said earlier, you look at how they're backing up their talk. And it's all lining up so far with signing the players and purging the roster and all of this kind of stuff. I'm excited about what we're about to see. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I think the franchise is definitely on a winning track.
All right. Hey, Chad, if you're in a boxing match, Chad, you know what I mean? If you got a boxing, you got one coming up, You going to prep by just doing shadow boxing, man? Or you going to take a couple blows, man?
That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, shadow boxing, like, yeah, it's pretty. You're looking good. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm swift on my feet. You take one of the nose because you ain't took one of the nose before. Now it becomes a problem, right?
No, fortunately, I grew up boxing, so I can tell you.
Your big ass head looks like you grew up boxing, Chad.
And I don't know if Savant can do this if he starts swiping left real quick. Maybe put a poll up there real quick. But who would win a boxing match on everybody in the show right now? Oh. And I think I would take care of your geriatric ass. But yes, yes.
I'm too old to fight, man. I'm too old to fight.
Okay, went from bowling to boxing.
Look, the problem is it all, like, it's the, like, you always bring up the Mike Tyson bit. It all looks good until you get punched in the mouth,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in law. That happens in every aspect of life. Like, if everything's going cool, everything's working out, it's great. You put up what? What did they put up? 72 points or what was it?
Like, 70 burger. 70 burger. Right? Yeah.
When it's all working out like that, it looks great. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, you know, the temperature might be a little cooler. Yeah, temperature might be a little cooler.
Right.
You
know,
a little ache here and there. And all of a sudden you get blasted in the mouth, and you're like, all right, I don't like doing this anymore. I'm done.
No doubt about it.
They call uncle. Yeah.
All right. Yep. So Chris Perkins has something he wants to get off his chest. This is the first time in Fish Tank Live history, but Perk texted us last night and said, "Hey fellas, I want to discuss something on the show." He went producer. He started dropping demands. I think the price just went up. People are losing jobs at ESPN. Perk just got a little bit more valuable, and that's where we're at. So, Perk, I don't even want to tee it up. This is, the floor is yours. I have thoughts, and I imagine some of us do as well. Perk, talk to us, man. What's going on here at the quarterback position?
All right, so here's my message to Dolphins fans, and I think this message has been received by Halfley and Sully. You don't need Malik Willis to play at a Hall of Fame level next season. You need Malik Willis to play at a Pro Bowl level next season, and you need to give Malik Willis a quality defense. Don't put it all on the quarterback. We can look at this ESPN top 10 quarterback ranking that just came out, and I will remind you, this came out as the result of a poll from NFL scouts and executives and coaches. This is what they thought. The last two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks were not in the top 10. Jalen Hurts and Sam Darnold were both honorable mention. Some of the guys that were in the top 10, Josh Allen, number one, never been to a Super Bowl. Got an MVP, never been to a Super Bowl. What about Lamar Jackson, right? Two or three MVPs, never been to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has been to one Super Bowl. He didn't win it. Look, if you took Patrick Mahomes out of that top 10, the remaining nine are no better than the seven honorable mentions. The remaining nine have four Super Bowl appearances and one Super Bowl win. The honorable mentions have four Super Bowl appearances and two Super Bowl wins. And the honorable mentions all play with top defenses. And so my message here is, it's not all about the quarterback. It's not all about Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. It's about having balance, like Sam Darnold had, like Brock Purdy had, like Jalen Hurts has. That's how you build a winning team in the NFL nowadays. I've told you guys that the last three Super Bowls, all six teams have had a top four defense and scoring defense, okay? That's significant. They haven't all had a top 10 offense, and Kansas City is the team that has not had the top 10 offense. And you think Patrick Mahomes, he's aided by an outstanding defense. So my message is, Malik Willis does not have to be Superman. He does not have to be a Hall of Famer. He needs to be accompanied by a good defense. That's the way I think Sully and Half are going to build this team. That's the recent NFL trend, and I think that's what's going to win you Super Bowls in the next couple of years, because that's the way the NFL is going.
Yeah, Sounds like almost I tried to tell you there, Big Seth.
It did.
Almost.
I got a lot of thoughts, man. But I don't know.
What you got, Big Seth? What you got, Big Seth?
No, I'm just laughing because what did Sam just say? Perk going Tarantino and doing? I tried to tell you all out of order.
Right, here it is.
I like it. So I think it is all about the quarterback, Perk. I'm not saying that you don't need these other components, but look at these quarterbacks, these guys you're talking about. You're making it sound like they're a bunch of, journeymen. That list alone, there's 17 quarterbacks on that list. Only three of them of the 17 were drafted outside of the first round. So there's 14 first round picks in there. There's two of them that were, there were only two who were drafted in a position lower than Malik. So, all of these quarterbacks that are being rated high are quarterbacks that were thought to be great players coming out of college. And then apparently all of the talent evaluators feel that they are still great quarterbacks. Six of those guys were number one overall draft picks. Six of them, 12 of them were drafted in the top 10. This is a collection of passers who were considered elite, and they are continuing to be considered elite pros. They're guys, these are the silver spoon players in the National Football League. They were expected to deliver. They are delivering. And if you said, hey, take Patrick Mahomes out of it. You can't take Patrick Mahomes out of it because he is Superman. And you know who else was Superman? Another guy, Tom Brady. So, if you look at the last 15 Super Bowls, Perk, so that gives you what, 30 starting quarterback positions.
Mm-hmm.
11 of those 30 are Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. And they're just better than all those other guys who you said won MVPs and everything else. They can't get to the Super Bowl because they couldn't get past Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. I think ultimately elite quarterbacks carry you to those positions. And if you look at those 30 different starting quarterbacks in those last 15 Super Bowls, it's a ton of guys who are all high draft picks with the occasional just freak show unicorn and Brady and Brock Purdy. Everybody else is like a top draft pick. These are quarterbacks that again, they were considered to be elite. Teams traded up, teams mortgaged the farm to go get those guys, and everybody still thinks they're elite, and they find their ways into the Super Bowl. You're not finding a bunch of journeymen starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. You're just not.
But Seth, let me say this, OJ. Here's my point. When you look at Brady and Mahomes skew everything, it's like saying in the 90s in the NBA, you needed Michael Jordan. Well, of course, he's the greatest. He's the GOAT. But you look at these other quarterbacks like Bo Nix and Drake May and Baker Mayfield. Look at where their defense is ranked. Look at the help that they have, Seth. You're programmed to think quarterback, 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 quarterback gets all the credit. What I'm telling you is look at this in a bigger picture. Look at how their defense helps them get to the Super Bowl.
Find me the Trent Dilfer on that list.
This defense. What's that?
Find me the Trent Dilfer on that list. Like, they're all elite guys.
They're not. Well, Jared Goff is elite.
He's a number one overall pick, and he's taken. He took one team to a Super Bowl.
How many Super Bowls has he won?
He took one team to a Super Bowl, and he damn near would have been in a Super Bowl with Detroit.
He took the Rams. He was along for the ride. The Rams actually won it when they had Matthew Stafford.
Another number one overall draft pick. Yes, find me the guy. Nick Foles is the only guy. You could call Nick Foles a journeyman. And by the way, the year that he started in the Super Bowl, the number two overall draft pick, Carson Wentz, won 10 games before Nick Foles even got in. They had to have a list. You don't get to the Super Bowl without a lead quarterback.
Seth, Carson Wentz had, 33 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He was going to be the MVP that year, right?
Right.
And Nick Foles, the career journeyman, finished it off. Why? Because he had a defense and a run game. When Denver won it in 2015, do you know that Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler combined for 19 touchdowns and 23 interceptions? It was the no-fly zone defense that won them the Super Bowl. Right. And you want to give credit to Peyton Manning because he was the quarterback.
Look at
how Patrick Mahomes lost to Tampa Bay, the defense, right? He had no time to pass. Look at what happened to Drake May. He had no time to pass, right?
I mean, the defense, that your program, you got to look beyond what your program to think. The league wants you to think quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. The quarterback is the single most important player on the field.
True.
But recently, he's not the reason that teams win the Super Bowl. Last
you're not
year,
winning without one.
No, you're not. You're not. That's not what I'm saying.
Yes, you
I'm
are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Witherspoon
could have had the MVP in the Super Bowl last year. Josh Sweat could have had it the year before, but you're programmed to think, oh, offense, give it to Kenneth Walker.
Well, let's not talk about who the Super Bowl MVP is. I mean, that they don't even wait to the game.
Right, and just like Seattle blew it, just like Seattle blew it, where they wanted Russell Wilson to be the MVP, and they tried to throw it, and it should have been, you know, Marshawn Lynch. Look, they always, like Perk, even Tom Brady. Come on, you talk about Tom Brady, Big Seth. He's blessed with a top 10 defense every single right. Super Bowl he's won. Every single one he's won. Right. His defense was like sixth, you know, first, second, you know, eighth. What I'm looking, first again, seventh, yep. eighth. Every single defense he's played has been a top 10 defense. He's great, of course, but we talked about this before. Defense and run game is what wins it. Peyton right. Manning won his second one with a run game and a defense.
Right.
Like, what Perk is saying is, you don't have to be elite as a quarterback. You just don't have to fuck it up.
Correct. Correct. That's my whole point about Malik Willis. That's right. He doesn't have to be Mahomes or Brady. He can be Sam Darnold. He can be Jalen Hurts, and he can have a ring.
Sam Darnold.
Let me jump in here. Go ahead, Mike. I think you're each right to a point. I think the way the league is evolving, it's tougher to have that superstar quarterback take up 25% of your cap. Right. And still put on the field a great team that can win. I will say, though, if you do have that superstar quarterback who does take up 25% of your cap, like Mahomes, whatever, that's a champagne problem, and that's a great problem to have. But not every one of those guys on that list are probably worth 25% of the cap. That's the thing. And it's kind of like how the NBA has evolved, where for many years you got to have a super team to win. Now you've had 8 champions in 8 years, all different teams. You got to have 1 or 2 stars. You don't need like 4.
Right.
And that right. league's evolved. The NFL is slowly evolving too. But Josh Allen might not have won a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson might not have won a Super Bowl. But having those guys each year is like starting a hand of poker with pocket aces. It's a shortcut. And there's no way around it.
That's you're pretty a great much
in the playoffs. Analogy. You're mm-hmm. in the playoffs. You're going to win your 10 to 12 games. And it's a shortcut and it's an easier path to win, even if they are going to take up a larger chunk of your salary cap. But Perk's not necessarily wrong. It's just, I don't know if we're fully there yet. And if a lot of these head coaches and GMs, they're going to take the superstar quarterback at the end of the day and be like, I will figure the rest of it out.
Right.
And
right.
I'll try to put together a roster with less money on the cap, blah, blah, blah. So I think you're both kind of right. But, you know, it's tough. I know Josh Allen, Lamar, May, who was great last year for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Those guys haven't won a Super Bowl. But, man, I'd rather start a season with them than Willis at the end of the day. I mean, I think that's kind of how I feel. But Perk's not wrong. It's just because I think that's what the league is starting to head.
Look at those names. These are not these aren't guys you're picking up off the trash heap. You're talking about guys who were drafted 3rd overall, 7th overall, guys who were winning MVPs, guys who were leading the league in passing. Like, these are elite players.
I disagree. Yeah. Seth. I disagree. They're not elite players. They're players who have put up big numbers.
They're elite players. Not all of them
right.
are.
Right.
Who isn't?
Bo Nix hasn't put up any big numbers. And
Bo Nix isn't on the list.
I know, but look, he's here's not my on the point. List. You didn't let me finish. He probably would have gone to the Super Bowl if he didn't get injured, right?
Yes.
And he was a big part of that.
Yes, but he was, but he's not going to the Hall of Fame. If Jalen Hurts gets to the Hall of Fame, it will be because the team took him there.
Jalen Hurts is an elite leader. And when he has played in two Super Bowls, he
played
phenomenally. Phenomenally.
But he's not the reason they went to the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying they're the reason. I'm just saying you can't get there without one. It's the greatest team sport in the history of athletics.
How good is Sam Darnold?
How good is he? He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League the last 2 years.
Hands down.
And how long historically speaking?
We think you know why historically
career,
because he's with the Jets. He was with the Jets, and that's why everyone thinks, oh, Sam Darnold couldn't play. No, Sam Darnold had the stench of the New York Jets on him that needed to be washed off.
How good do you think Baker Mayfield is? How good do you think Jared Goff is?
Oh my God! Give me any of them. Give me any one of them. All of them are better than anybody we've had out here in decades.
Seth,
to do what?
Wait, Perk, I think Seth hit on a point that you'll both agree in. Juice, I need you to pay attention to this. I don't want you to curse. When you have that leader at that position, it makes everybody better.
Correct.
Right, Juice?
I agree.
Like, when you have that guy where you're like, look, all right, we're down 3 touchdowns, but we got our guy, and we know.
Well, here's the thing about it. Like, I've had multiple quarterbacks other than Marino, right? Not even the most talented guy that I had as a quarterback was Jay Fiedler. But he was a great leader, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
He was a great leader. And that guy with a great defense and a run game. Team, actually, after I left, probably should have done way more than they did because they had a run game,
right.
They had a great defense, and they had a great leader. That team probably came up shorter than us. One year I was there, we had 19 first-round picks on the Dolphins. You know what I mean? Some of them were, you know, cast-offs, whatever it might have been. But that you talk about talent. That seemed like a talented team. But Jay Fiedler's team was a team that the quarterback that wasn't as talented as half the quarterbacks in the league, a great leader, a great competitor, great defense in a run game. That team might have been the best Dolphins team that I've been a fan of. You know, when I was, you know, I wasn't a fan of the team until 93 when they drafted me, paid me the money, you know what I mean? You know how it is, you know? You know? So I'm with you. I mean, I just like when it comes to like, let's get back to the point right here. Like what we're talking about here is we're really talking about Malik Willis.
Right.
You know, the whole point of this whole thing is about Malik Willis and can he lead this team and to, you know, obviously, we're not asked for big things this year, but can he be the guy for the next few years to lead us to whatever promised land we're looking at? And I think that the question that what Perk is saying is correct. And I think that for sure that Sully and Half are going to build this freaking defense up where Malik and Achan and a few more wide receivers as they get older are going to be the reason that we can be successful. But I guarantee you they're going to focus on that defense first is what they've been doing with some of the guys they've gotten, some of the guys they've re-signed, and we'll talk a little bit more about a re-signing, you know, when it comes to Jordan, those guys. But, you know, that defense is going to be the bell cow for this team. And I think they're going to build everything around that team. And Malik is going to be a guy that they're counting on not to – flub it up, Savar.
Right.
So flub it up. And if he can go out there and not flub it up, I think that's what you don't have to be great at the quarterback position in order for your team to be really, really good. If your defense, like we talk about Tom Brady a little bit, I talk about how great his defense was. Look, Tom Brady go down there and score you 7, defense gets a 3 and out. Next time you know, Tom Brady's gonna get another touchdown or a field goal. Next thing you know, mm-hmm. the defense up 14-0 or 10-0, you know, and then after that. Now everybody on the offense side, they're scrambling because that defense was giving them the ball back over. You don't score a bunch of points if the defense isn't giving you the ball back over and over and over again.
And right, but we also see teams that get the ball back over and over and over again, and then they can't capitalize on
correct.
It.
Correct. So I get that part. What about short fields, though? Takeaways. I'm talking about all that. Short fields, turnovers, short fields, field goals. Short field touchdown
Let me ask you this. So here's what I envision. I use the Russell Wilson analogy a lot when he was in Seattle.
Okay.
Russell Wilson, they won with defense and run game, right? That's how they won. Russell Wilson made timely plays, but it was really the Legion of Boom and Beast Mode that drove that team. Russell made the timely play. Russell is a 10-time Pro Bowler, if I'm not mistaken. Russell is a Hall of Famer, but he was never the number one reason that the Seahawks won. They won because of Legion of Boom
and Beast Mode. You just told me they got a Hall of Fame quarterback.
They do, Seth, but he's not the number one reason that they won. Terry Bradshaw is not the number one reason that the Steelers won, is he?
No.
Or Greasy.
Right.
Or Greasy.
I knew that was coming.
Keep it all coming. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, exactly right. You've got to think differently.
Well, I don't need to think differently because history tells me that you need a good quarterback to win the Super Bowl.
You do need a good quarterback.
And I'm looking at it right here.
You just changed it, Seth. Now it's a good quarterback.
That's what I'm saying the whole time.
No, you were talking elite earlier. Now it's just a good quarterback.
Sure, I'll go. We'll stay with elite quarterback play.
Sam Darnold is not the reason that they won the Super Bowl last year.
You know what? They didn't win the Super Bowl before then. They didn't win the Super Bowl until, since when? Since they had Russell Wilson playing his best.
And if Geno Smith was the quarterback last year for them, guess what they would not have done?
They would not have won the Super Bowl.
No,
and Minnesota should have kept them because Minnesota went 14-3 or whatever they went.
Geno paved the way for Sam Darnold. They were a decent team with freaking Geno. Kirk Cousins paves the way. Listen, Kirk Cousins can take a team from 6 wins to 10 wins, but he can't take them from 10 wins to a Super Bowl championship.
What does that mean in this context?
I get it now. So Tua paved the way. Malik is going to win a Super Bowl this year.
If you gave Kirk Cousins a defense and a run game like Sam Darnold had, I bet he could do it. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be a Hall of Fame talent. You have to have a Pro Bowl season.
There's no proof of concept that Cousins can do it. You know how many – everybody bets
there
that
was nothing
can.
with
Everybody knows that Kirk Cousins can do it. They put guaranteed money up on the table. He collects hundreds of millions of dollars, and he never does it. Doesn't matter where he's been.
Nobody hires Kirk Cousins to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, yes, they do. You don't give a guy a hundred plus million dollars. Minnesota did. You know what? I'm not gonna. This feels like arguing with Harvey Green, where the goalpost just got moved. I want to stay on path here. Here's the deal. John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Hafley made one big move to pay one guy, and it was at the quarterback position, right? So they decided that the one position they were going to invest in was the guy who was under center. Now, if you look at where Malik's draft status was and what his history is, history tells you that guy has not won in the last 15 years. You don't have a guy that's even played in a Super Bowl like that. You know, you got right. I mean, Brock Purdy. You could throw Brock Purdy as an example. I guess you could, total freak show anomaly. It'll never happen again, right?
Rookie contract.
Nick Foles was drafted in the third round, actually two spots ahead of, I think, 86. Okay. So he's the closest comparison. But again, the year that Nick Foles, he didn't lead them to the Super Bowl. Correct. What he did do was hold on and make sure that, to Juice's point, he didn't flub it up. The number two overall draft pick helped lead that team to 10 wins before he blew out his knee. And then he blew out his career. I don't know what the hell happened to that guy. But if you go look at the guys that made – just go look at who the starting quarterbacks were for the last 15 Super Bowls. They were all guys that were either drafted high or they were elite players their entire career. And, yes, I understand your point. Build your team with a good defense. Build your team with a strong running game. But you better have a quarterback that can play at a high level, especially when it matters most, or you're not getting to the dance.
I agree with you on that point.
We're good.
You said it had to be elite. Now you just got to have a guy that plays at a high level.
I think they are elite.
Is it you need an elite guy all year long, or do you need a guy that, you know, that plays well when it's you know, nut cutting time?
You need elite, or you have to get lucky with a guy that
you
does.
You really need a guy that doesn't flub it up if you got a good running game.
Look at the guys who are in the Super Bowl, man.
Jared Goff is not elite. Sam Darnold is not elite. Jalen Hurts is not elite.
I don't know, man. I don't.
You're assigning elite status because of what the team accomplished and because they were a starting quarterback when the team accomplished big things.
Yes, you can't do it without that guy. You can't do it.
I agree with you, Seth, but what our difference is, Malik Willis does not have to be the number one reason that the Dolphins succeed. He can be the number three reason behind the run game and the defense. He has to be good. The quarterbacks who go to the Super Bowl can have a single Pro Bowl season in their career, and that good enough for that season. They don't have to be Hall of Famers.
Brock Purdy's not going
to the Hall of Fame. Sam Darnold's not going to the Hall of Fame. Jared Goff is not going to the Hall of Fame.
Every quarterback, Big Seth, Kirk, Mike, Savak, Chad, every quarterback during the season is going to have some moments where they do something special.
Yeah.
Football team. They don't have to be that every single Sunday.
Right.
Like the elite guys probably will. They don't have, you know, they're going to have to come up with some moments along the during the season to do something special for this football team. You know, they don't have to be elite or special every single Sunday if you got a great run game and a great defense, or a good run game and a great defense, or a good defense and a great run game. Quarterbacks don't hold. Now you don't. Your game has changed, like Perk's talking about.
Right.
You used to be tossing around the yard, you know, put up 400 yards, and that's how you win football games. The game is back to defense and run game. Defense and run game is what the game is about now, man. If you got those two, for one, you know, it's a cliche, but it all travels. It travels. You got to have a quarterback that doesn't mess it up. Go ahead, Mike. Talk.
Right. I got a question. It's a hypothetical question.
Yes.
We don't know. This year, our quarterback plays well, Willis. He's got no wide receivers to really throw to, and we know they're
– We always got wide receivers, Mike. Don't ever talk about my receivers.
Not since you left, OJ. Not since you left, OJ. But, no, we got no wide receivers to throw to, really. You know, it's a young team all around. So he can play well, and they could still be picking first or second in the draft. Are you going to say, well, that's our quarterback, let's load up the defense with that pick at number one or two, give me a pass rusher or a corner? Or are they going to go for the shortcut and say, love you, Malik, give me Moore or Manning because I'm chasing the superstar? I don't know what they'll do, but that's going to be the question come next April if they're in that type of situation. And that would be a great time to revisit this because Willis might not play bad, but they still might not win a lot of games. And by if you're just looking for a guy who's pretty good, but just load up the team with a running game and stuff, he's your guy. But would they say, yeah, well, I'm not passing on that.
Well, answer this, Mike. Answer this question, Mike.
You all
know the answer. They're going to take the quarterback. Yeah.
You all know the answer to that right now. You all, and Seth, I know Seth will lead with it. You all know what the answer is. Loyalty goes about that far. If you like, it
went only as loyal as your options.
Listen, Mike. Listen to this.
I'm just throwing out a question.
So I'm gonna give you my answer right here, real quick.
So here's
my answer to this. So you're gonna get Moore or Manning, but you're gonna have the same talent around them.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Right. Yeah, you will.
They got more money to spend in free agency.
Instead,
they go out there and buy a wide receiver.
Because he's got more. Because we got more money in
the
bank.
$180 million. So why not give Malik that?
Why not give Malik that?
I don't know what they're
going to
do.
Though.
I'm just saying.
So if Malik goes out there and he doesn't look like he has no clue out there in the football field,
That's different.
What are you talking about?
I mean, if he plays well, will they look to add someone that's not a quarterback? If he plays bad, they're taking a quarterback, period.
Yeah,
no
right.
Discussion.
Mike, here's the other thing. What happens to their credibility? If he plays well and you think there's somebody better out there, to me it's like, well, then why did you sign Malik in the first place? Like,
that's
what?
A great question to ask him, Perk. And I know you will.
I think their credibility would take a hit.
Think they'd probably take the quarterback.
You're right. It's an interesting situation.
Yeah,
right.
that's the thing, because no one expects him to win much, but he could still play halfway decent, Willis.
Right.
And they could still lose every game. I mean, that is possible.
If Willis isn't the reason, if he's not the reason that we lose the majority of our games, if he's not the reason we lose games, you know what I mean? And he gives you a chance to win every game, then what do we do with that in that situation, Mike?
Get more picks and just take every other position.
I think you're
surrounding with talent, right? Surrounding with talent.
Agreed.
A bunch of talent.
So I think in that scenario, if they feel that Willis is who they thought he was, and he performs at a high level, regardless of what the outcome of those games are, then I think the big question is, what do they think of Quinn Ewers after a season as well?
Ewers is an afterthought at this point,
But I think if they think they have a legitimate young backup to him, because they're again, remember, this is the whole draft a quarterback or sign a quarterback every right. year or every other year philosophy. So maybe you don't use your top 10 pick on a quarterback, but maybe we find a guy in the second, third, fourth round that we like at the position, or do we like yours and we can skip a year and find it. So I think absolutely the evaluation of Malik Willis far beyond wins and losses is important. I agree.
Well, you
with
know, real quick, Seth. Yeah, I see. I heard you saying, but bottom line is this: Malik Willis has a 3-year deal, but it's really a 1-year prove it deal.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, it's I a think 1-year prove it deal, but he's yeah. also proven it with, you know, with no wide receivers, pretty much a young line or half beaten up line or a couple guys that haven't been there. So it's a 1-year prove it deal for him. And if he goes out there and he, you know, if he's average. With the talent he has around him. Now, look, these guys are going to get better. Wide receivers are going to get better. He's got three rookie wide receivers that are probably going to get better. You know, he's already got Malik Washington, you know, who's already, you know, going to be probably a security blanket for him. You know, mm-hmm. Dolce's, those guys are going to be part of, you know, the pack. It's not going to be, but we need to get vertical. We got away from vertical because we got a quarterback that we had that we couldn't protect for the most part and was unwilling to take a hit. So we're going to
see. That's one thing we all can agree on.
Correct. So we're going to see if there's an opportunity for Malik to be Malik. Malik is a guy that's athletic, that's mobile, has a big arm, can he get it down the field? But it's a 1-year prove it thing for him. So, we'll, like Mike said, I think we're going to revisit all this after this season or somewhere, maybe not even after this season, maybe halfway through this season.
November.
Right.
Well, it's going to be halfway through the season yeah. where we revisit this and see where we're at with this. And then we can decide where we're going to go at that position because, you know, the defense obviously is going to be young. We'll see if they're out there making plays, what they're going to be able to do. I think Habs defense is going to be better than we think. I don't care how young they're going to be.
Yeah.
I really don't care. Cause I think they're going to be out there with the guys up front. If we can't, but thing is, you know, what are we going to do on the edge? The edge is the only thing that bothers me. You know, other than that, I'm okay with everything else. I'll be okay with everybody cool. else if we can handle things on the edge.
So, Juice, I'm just going to say this, and I want to get it moving because I'm looking at the time, and I want to make sure get everything in. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's a 1-year prove-it deal. The big question is, how do they define proving it? What are Affley and Sullivan looking for? That because it can't be just wins and losses.
Score points.
You know, is it scoring points? Is it understanding the offense? Is it making all the plays and being let down by other things? You know, so whatever their barometer is of what's proving it will determine.
You know what proving it to me is, Big Seth? Proving it to me, and I know we're up against the clock, man, but I don't give a damn. My lady's right here. She's asleep. We're good to go. You know what I mean? Y'all, I don't care. I don't care about y'all. All I care about is me. I'm my only child. I don't give a damn. You know what I mean?
Wide out.
I do. I care about my goddaughter. Yeah, I do, Chad. So, Chad, you got to go. I get it, bro. I get it, man. You know, but moments. I'm excited about moments this year. You know what I mean? If we need Malik to go down there and do something, if he can pull it off, whereas we've seen other guys that couldn't pull it off, I'm that's what I'm talking about. I don't care what his numbers are. I'm looking at moments like I always talk about. Nut cutting time. What does he look like in nut cutting time? You know, and I think that's a guy that really can go out there and make things happen with his legs. He can definitely make things happen with his arm. And if we're in enough games at the end and he's got an opportunity, that's what I would judge Malik Willis, how he responds in those moments. Does he shrink in those moments or does he come up big time in those moments? That's all I give a damn about. Now, I don't care. Brett Favre throw three interceptions in the first half, but then he'll throw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? That's all that matters. I'm not comparing those two, obviously, but what's going to happen in nut cutting time when we get an opportunity to go down there and win a football game, if we're in a football game, how does he respond? If he's able to go out there and respond to those opportunities, and I'm not saying every single time because nobody's going to do it every single time. Marino didn't do it every single time. You know, we had chances and we didn't get it done every single time. But if he can go out there and do it the majority of the time, that's all I care about. If we got a guy that we know that can go out there and give us a chance. When I got in the huddle with Dan Marino, I knew every single time we need a field goal or a touchdown to win, we had a fucking shot.
There it is.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. On that note, I'm moving into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. So speaking of our Miami Dolphins, Chad, and speaking of, you know, your expertise, which is bankruptcy law, The Dolphins have about $180 million debt that they are out of. So if the Miami Dolphins call you and say, hey, Chad Van Horn Law Group, we are sitting here carrying $179 million in debt, you know, and we just committed another $35 million guaranteed to Jordan Brooks. Like, what are we looking at here for the Dolphins to get out of their situation and they're consulting Van Horn Law Group?
So I'm waiting for the phone call first off, because it's coming. And I promise you,
truly a big fish.
Once it happens, Fish Tank is going to really blow up after I get that retainer. But before I start with that, let me start with a question for everybody. And I want you guys in the chat to pay attention, because I really want to hear from the people in the chat, because you guys have been active today. And yes, I am Whoopi Goldberg and I am Alice at the same time. So anyway.
I saw that.
Have you ever spent money on something you don't use anymore? And I'm going to go through some options here. And it means no offense to anybody in the chat or anybody on the show. Maybe a gym membership you haven't used.
Damn.
Sorry, Perk. I'm not talking about you, Perk.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
Perk, I'm not talking about
me right
Perk.
Away. Right away.
Perk,
right
I am on. Not talking Perk. About you. Maybe okay. It's six different streaming services and you only watch Netflix, because I was on Netflix. Maybe it's that Peloton bike that's sitting out there that now become a hanger for your dress shirts. Or maybe, and this is a painful one for maybe some of our listeners, you're still paying for something that your ex is currently enjoying. Does anybody want to admit what they're
still
paying
for? You're talking to Tyreek Hill on that.
Hey, whoa. Yeah, he has multiple. Well, this is exactly what the Miami Dolphins are dealing with. And the good thing is, I guarantee anybody that's on right now is not dealing with a $179 million version of that. At least I hope not.
Yeah.
If you are, you definitely need to call me. Yeah, because in this case, the money's gone, the players are gone, but that bill is very much still alive. And I know you guys report on it all the time, and I know I'm actually a detailed reporter here. So I looked up my numbers. We got $55 million for Tua. We got $28 million for Tyreek, which that's helping with his other bills, Mike. We got $23 million for Jalen Waddle, and we got $21 million for Jalen Ramsey. So could you imagine that your bank statement showed up, right, and it said – you know, $55 million charge because Tua's not playing for you this year. Like, you would be pretty upset.
Yeah.
But this actually happens in real life, and people don't realize it, because, you know, there's a lot of great salespeople out there, right? And we all, you know, you have that car, and you're like, well, you know, I owe $40,000 on the car, but it's only worth $25,000, but I want a new car. And they're like, oh, we'll just roll it in. Right, we'll just roll that in, and we'll roll it in. So the old car is gone, but that debt is still sitting right next to you in the passenger seat, right? Just chilling, just hanging out with you all day, like Tua, like Tua, the ghost.
Came to my damn radio too.
Exactly. So you know what consumers and businesses are doing all the time? They're confusing moving debt with solving debt. And here's the twist, and Seth, you brought it up. Not only are we dealing with this debt hangover, like, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to do another $35 million guarantee for this guy, Jordan Brooks.
No.
We'll reach into the glove compartment. We'll figure out how to make that money work as well. And again, this has nothing to do with the players. Like, hey, they signed the contracts. They're earning every dollar. But we gotta ask the question: are the Dolphins responsibly rebuilding, or are they repeating the same mistakes they made in the past? And I know that you guys identify these players as the guys that are going to bring them to the next level. So I hope, because I am a Dolphins fan. Now they're my second team, but right. I am a Dolphins.
That's fair.
I am a Dolphin fan. So So bring it all around. I'm happy to answer any legal questions as well. And I didn't see anybody admit to any of the expenses, especially the X part. I didn't see any of that.
They might be listening, good. Man. They might be listening, Chad. We're not going to admit that.
Whatever. Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably good because that can be used against you. This is not attorney-client privilege right now.
Right? YouTube doesn't constitute attorney-client
privilege. I'm sure I've got some streaming services that I don't use that I had to get on to watch a college football game or an NFL game, and I don't watch the services anymore. And
It's still there, though. It's still hitting you up every time.
What's that app? You got to get that app perk that cleans up all that problems.
But doesn't the app cost like $15 a month?
Might as well keep the streaming service.
I'm better off playing for the streaming service.
exactly, Perk. No, you're not even lying. But here is the lesson that you can learn from the Dolphins. You can surrender a car and still own money. You can close a business and remain liable for the business lease. You can cut a football player and still carry millions in salary cap. Dolphins can survive the $179 million debt hangover because they have $1 billion owner and another season. You can kick it out. Most families don't. If yesterday's decisions are consuming today's paycheck, don't keep borrowing from tomorrow to make today feel easier. Eventually, tomorrow sends the bill. So fins up. Balance sheets down.
Nice.
I tried to tell y'all.
There we go.
I tried to tell y'all too.
Yes.
The legal zone and I tried to tell y'all all wrapped into one. Thank you for being efficient, using our time wisely, Chad. Great stuff for him. We're going to roll right into I Tried to Tell Y'all, where it is always kicked off by our leadoff hitter, OJ McDuffie.
Yes, sir. You know, it's so funny you say that because I just got a call from my high school. They want me to donate to some new like leaderboards. I'm like, no, I'm not. Hell with you.
All that money.
Screw them kids. Screw them kids, OJ.
Right.
My high school, it costs $40,000 a year to go there, man. They got plenty of money.
Really? They got money. They can buy their own scoreboard.
They got plenty of damn money. They want me. That's a whole different story. That might be my try to tell you another time. But I tried to tell y'all that good offenses and defenses start in the middle. History proves it every single time, and nobody did it better than the Miami Dolphins. Zach Thomas, the heart and soul of those defenses, a tackling machine who owned the middle of the field, but he had some great guys beside him, like Jason Taylor, Tim Bowens, Darrell Gardner, Sam and Pat, et cetera, et cetera. Nick Bonacani, leading the legendary no-name defense from the middle linebacker spot, anchoring Super Bowl teams. They were called the no-name defense, but they were far from no names. He was accompanied by Jake Scott, Dick Anderson, and Manny Fernandez and others. Brian Cox, you know, bringing the fire and physicality alongside us in the 90s, dominating from the inside. He was surrounded by the likes of Marco Coleman, Jeff Cross, Troy Vincent, Lewis Oliver, and Jarvis Williams, and others, like I talked about. Dwight Stevenson, one of the greatest centers to ever play the game, dominating the interior line and opening lanes while protecting the pocket. We know his Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Bob Greasy, and, of course, my man Dan Marino, the gunslinging QB who lit up scoreboards when that middle was secure. Those legends, including the ones I lined up with, built championship-caliber teams from the inside out. Other greats like, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers or Mike Webster and Jack Lambert and those guys like that, the Baltimore Ravens, you know, with – I knew Chad would like that. Ray Lewis, you know, patrolling the middle, and the Eagles with, you know, Jason Kelce elevating the interior. The same blueprint here in Miami right now. Aaron Brewer locking down the center spot. Malik Willis adding athletic versatility at quarterback. Devon Achan exploding from the backfield, all secured. And now Jordan Brooks with his new contract patrolling the middle of defense. He doesn't have the luxury of a dope-ass supporting cast like some of those other guys had. His job as a fearless leader will be tested. I feel like he's up for the task, and he will happily do it. He's that type of dude for sure. It's amazing what John Eric Sullivan is doing, handing out these deals to keep the core together. When you invest in the middle, the whole team rises. when you're with your lady and you work the middle, the whole thing rises. The Dolphins are building it the right way, y'all. Honoring the great tradition of interior dominance, the foundation is set. Now watch the whole house stand tall. I tried to tell y'all.
Well, there you go.
Nice.
Bringing the funk, I tried to tell y'all. Very nicely done. Very nicely done.
This really is an episode of The View now.
We're going to hold all commentary.
That was really a love story, wasn't it?
A little bit. Savak, what'd you try to tell us, my man? Because you haven't tried to tell us shit the entire time. What do you got for us?
I'll keep it short and sweet. This one I've been sitting on for a second. I tried to tell you, not only did Mike McDaniel lose the locker room, I don't think he ever really had it to begin with. Now, if y'all recall, which you probably don't, because despite me being right so damn often, nobody listens to me, I previously mentioned that based on Mike's demeanor and coaching style, I had the feeling that when it came to leadership and leading a group of alpha males, he felt more comfortable delegating. So Teron Armstead dove into the fish tank and told us almost word for word what I said. Mike liked to empower the players to be the leaders. And just as I said, it worked when Miami had those leaders in the locker room. Your Tyreek Hill, Raheem Mostert, Alec Ingold, Teron Armstead, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, Javon Holland, Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, Brandon Jones. I mean, the list goes on, and I didn't even name the quarterback in that list, who, when flanked by strong lieutenants, can act as a de facto general. And we saw what that looked like. 70 points on Denver, memorable touchdown celebrations, but when that motley crew started breaking up, it's safe to say it wasn't quite home sweet home anymore. Suddenly, Tua couldn't stop putting his foot in his mouth.
Guys showing up to player-only meetings late, guys not showing up to player-only meetings, like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
The messages no longer seemed to land, and the cohesion that had produced such magnificent fruits had withered away like old duct tape in the Florida sun after 10 years. And Teron breaks it down a bit more during the interview, out now on all platforms, so I strongly recommend checking it out. It's a fun conversation, but it demonstrates exactly what the hell I was talking about. In the words of a leader who was actually in the locker room. In stark contrast to what we're seeing today, Mike seemed to have little, if any, control over that locker room. And I tried to tell you.
Very nice, Savak.
I like the General Tua outfit. That was
General
great.
Tua was cool.
I thought y'all might get a kick out of that.
And no notes, as Travis Wingfield would say. But you said you've been sitting on that one for a while, but yet Savak in the video is wearing the same thing that Savak's wearing tonight. When you meant sitting on it for a while, do you mean that it was a while until you got to the show? 30 seconds before you went? Okay, got it. All right, perfect. Let's move it. Very good, though, and I couldn't agree with you more. Chris Perkins, I feel like you already tried to tell us something earlier today. What else did you try to tell us?
So I want to make the unusual step of deferring my I tried to tell y'all to the Van Horn Legal Zone on a college football question. Here's the question, Chad.
Wow.
Listen, so there's this report that the Pitt coach complained that Miami, Mario Cristobal, Mario Cristobal came to his quarterback and said, you know, we would like to have you. So the Pitt quarterback goes to his coach, Pat Narduzzi, I believe, and says, if you don't give me more money, I'm going to Miami. So they give the kid more money. Chad, my question to you is, if colleges started having two-year contracts, three-year contracts, what's the legal offshoot? Do they players now have the right to form a union? Like, why can't they offer a two-year or three-year contract to players?
No, that's where it's going. And the short answer, that's what needs to happen, because it's honestly ridiculous that something like that can occur. And I get you, people outplay their contracts all the time. You know, people outwork their contracts all the time, whatever it is. Like, Perk, you're not one of those people that's outworked your contract with the Sun Sentinel, but one day you may get there.
I saw that coming.
I'm still going year to year. You're right.
Maybe that's
why. 3 years, a one-year deal.
Yeah. Right. But that is 100% where it's going, and we're seeing it getting closer and closer. And I know that there's action at the federal level about this as well. But it's certainly going to get to that level, and 100%, that's where it's going to get. And unfortunately, what you're going to see, and we're going to talk about it one day, is there's going to be a lawsuit from Pitt against the player, and it'll probably drag into the NFL as well, because they'll be drafted, and you know, lawsuits take time, where the player was stolen, and another player, there was a Pitt wide receiver that went to USC that was promised for a lot.
Jordan Addison, yeah.
Yeah, and they went to Minnesota, and there was behind the scenes kind of arbitration, whatever, to work it out. Because it's all such a gray area right now, and that's what you see. So you're going to see a lot of these teams that want that arbitration behind the scenes, because they don't want this to become public. But there's just too much of this happening where eventually it's going to end up in litigation.
Yeah, very nice, good stuff.
I hate that you know, teams are stealing players like that, man. You know what I mean? There's a thing in the NFL called tampering. They need to have something like that.
Wild West, man.
As well, man.
Wild West.
You know, in Miami, there's tampering.
There's definitely tampering. And it'll cost you in the National
More than once. League. Tom Brady, Sean Payton, how many want to go?
Kurt, great stuff. Great use of your time. You. What is it? What do they say in Congress when you're going to give your time over to somebody else?
The gentleman in plantation or wherever he is.
Right? That's right. Absolutely. So a little bonus legal zone there. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, we do have the new lineup here, where I no longer back cleanup because we've got the heavy hitter in the house. So, gentlemen, I tried to tell y'all that the 2026 Miami Dolphins are beginning to feel like the 1996 Miami Dolphins. Understand, I'm not saying they're twins, or maybe I am in the Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger vein, but they are actually far more similar than someone might realize. In fact, I have to give credit to where credit is due, because the great Scott Stone first brought this to my attention months ago, and I wasn't seeing it until I couldn't look away. Scott pointed out that the last time the Dolphins completely pushed the reset button with a new head coach and a new general manager was indeed 30 years ago, prior to the start of that 1996 season. Of course, Wayne Huizenga only had to engage in one interview instead of two, since Jimmy Johnson wore both hats, but the fact of the matter is, it was a complete overhaul of decision makers, a move we haven't seen since until this year. Now, for me, the twinning began on April 23rd when John Eric Sullivan utilized the Dolphins' first-round draft choice to select Caden Proctor, a mountain of a man with unprecedented size and elite athleticism, but also a player who brings with him some questions related to his work ethic and effort. Juice, does that sound familiar? Because I thought it would, because back in 1996, Jimmy told us you can be safe and be good, or you can take risks and be great, when he took a risk on a mountain of a man with unprecedented size and elite athleticism, but with questions related to work ethic and effort in Baylor defensive tackle Darryl Gardner. Now, one can only hope that Malik Washington isn't put in a position to have to check Proctor for his effort at some point. Because we know what that looks like, don't we, O.J. McDuffie?
Oh, don't we?
And speaking of the draft, Miami selected 12 players in 1996, including a middle linebacker from Texas Tech who would prove to be the prized catch of that crop. This year's Finns pulled 13 picks in Pittsburgh, and yes, they made sure to find a Red Raider linebacker of their own, didn't they? And what to do with all these rookies? Well, back in 96, Jimmy played them early and often. In the Dolphins season opener, four draft choices, including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Stanley Pritchett, Zach Thomas, and the aforementioned Gardner, all started alongside my co-host, while another four, Sean Wooden, Larry Izzo, Shane Burton, and Jairus McPhail, contributed significant playing time. I expect we're going to see much of the same from Halfley's horde of hopefuls when the Finns roll the dice in Vegas against the Raiders. And much like those 1996 Dolphins, that trend will continue throughout the season. Now, why so many rookies? What happened to the rosters? Well, prior to the 96 season, Dolph fans had to say goodbye to great players like Brian Cox and Troy Vincent, Marco Coleman and Irving Fryer. And the trend continued into training camp as fan favorites and familiar names like running back Terry Kirby, tight end Eric Green, and even all-pro kicker Pete Stojanovic were handed their walking papers. The reasons are certainly different this year, but we know the names. Tyreek and Tua, Chubb and Waddle, fullback Alec Ingold, tight end Darren Waller, and even all-pro kicker Jason Sanders were all handed their walking papers. Now, there's no reason for you to present the counterargument, Perk. I know that Don Shula never jumped on Huizenga's desk begging to pay any player a contract that was going to be $200 million. And if Shula did do it, he certainly wouldn't have been wearing capri pants and all whites. I realize that Jeff Hafley doesn't have a boat named Three Rings, and he wasn't on television last season telling us why Mike McDaniel had the best job in all of football, although both Hafley and Jimmy share a man crush on Dave Wannstedt. Know what I mean? But none of that matters. Sorry, I'm sorry, Juice. I saw you laughing, made me laugh. None of that means that Julius and Vincent didn't share a womb. And regardless of how and why, it shouldn't take Scott Stone's genius for the rest of us to see the similarities here either. Now, let's see if they can extend them to the field of play. The 96 Dolphins went 8-8, narrowly missing the playoffs. And wouldn't that be a great way for the Sully and Half show to begin? Wow. And then we were introduced to spectacular defensive play. Hidden gems rising from the ashes. A couple of Hall of Fame players. Five straight playoff appearances, including three postseason victories. As our guy Chris Perkins pointed out, let's hope this regime can outdo Marino, JT, and Zach Perk. Now, I don't know where this group of Dolphins will take us, but I can tell you that they sure do feel a lot like the 96 squad I tried to tell y'all.
Nice. With a Scott Stone reference. I like
that. I know. Nice. Scott Stone reference.
It's incredible, man. I can't steal it from him.
Great stuff, Scott. Not Seth, but great stuff, Scott.
Come on, man. I did some work there now. He just gave me an idea, but that's fine. That's okay. We'll get Scott. I'll be that guy. I'll be that humble guy who thanks his teammates. Absolutely. All right. Well, Michael Leva, get us out of here, man. What did you try to tell us?
All right, so mine this week is on a topic I really don't like talking about anymore because I feel like it's been beaten to death. But we actually have news around this now, so I'm going to talk about this for the one and only time this year because I know this topic's been spoken about so many times. There is rumor and innuendo out there that the Miami Dolphins are going to make a uniform change in 2027, and possibly it could be more, i.e. a logo change. For those of you who've missed this story, Fanatics this year, they're going to sell a higher-end quality NFL jersey for folks who want a premium jersey that the players actually wear on the field. But they're only making them for 30 of the 32 teams. Why? Why are they not making them for two teams? Those two teams are Miami and New Orleans. And the word on the street is because both of those teams have already submitted the paperwork for uniform changes in 2027. So Fanatics and the retailers and the designers and everyone in the third world sweatshops making these things, they don't want to waste their time making jerseys that are going to be outdated like 6 months. Right. So if this is true, and many feel it is from all the reporting that's out there, the Miami Dolphins got to stop fucking around and let's become a real organization again. Greer is gone. McDaniel's gone, Tua is gone, and Mike Florio, on a podcast with me a couple weeks ago, said Ross ain't even really running the team anymore. He's kind of passed everything off to Daniel Sillman, and Sillman's the one calling the shots, and I trust Mike Florio when it comes to that. So it's time to fix a lot of wrongs, and the biggest wrong is this damn logo and these uniforms. In the big picture, is this a top priority? No, of course not. It's about winning games. We all get that. But this does matter, too. A wise philosopher once said, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. And God damn it, that's 100% true. Deion Sanders has never spoken truer words in his life. And let's be frank. Iconic sports teams don't change logos in their uniforms. The Yankees, the Canadians, the Packers, Lakers, Celtics, Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers, Red Sox, Cubs, LA Dodgers, Penn State, Alabama, Michigan, USC. They don't change nothing ever. Carry it over to business. Did McDonald's ever get rid of their golden arches? Did Nike ever drop the swoosh? Did KFC ever take the kernel off of their packaging? Oh, hell no. Did NBC ever drop their peacock logo? Nope. Did Wendy's ever change the hair color? A little old Wendy? No, she didn't go from red to blonde. Sure, blondes have more fun, but it's Wendy's, and Wendy's has, and Wendy has red hair, and they're not dumb enough to mess with the look and the logo. When you get it right the first time, you don't change. The Miami Dolphins had it right the first time. And for anyone under the age of 50, you might not know this because it's been so long. The Dolphins were once an NFL franchise every team looked up to at one point. And again, you got to be close to retirement these days or live in a nursing home to remember those days are so long ago. But history books will show you this. And for some reason, Miami has changed the logo twice, and they've changed uniforms so many times I've lost count. And since then, it's been a downward spiral of losing and ineptitude. Enough. New GM, new head coach, new quarterback. Sounds like a new owner. And it's time to fix this and right this wrong. Bring the throwbacks back full time. And don't tell me it's about the money. If I got to hear another fan say, well, they can sell merchandise with a new logo and sell merchandise with the throwback logo, and you make money twice, you double dip. One, who cares? And two, that might not be the case anymore because this fan base is kind of apathetic to pretty much everything. I have been podcasting about the Miami Dolphins before many people, over 15 years. I've owned a website blog about the Miami Dolphins for 15 plus years. I was arguing with fans on Twitter about the Dolphins when Twitter used to be fun. That's a long time ago. I know Dolphins fans. I promise you, and someone clip this and send it to Mr. Tom Garfinkel and Mr. Silman. I promise you, if Miami went to the throwback logo and uniforms full time, they will sell more merchandise and make more money than they know what to do with. Dolphins fans are starving for this. Fans will flock to Hard Rock Stadium and that team store and buy that all up. And remember, the NFL merchandise revenue is split amongst all the teams, except for the merchandise you sell at your team store and that you sell at pop-up stores. If the Dolphins just want to start printing money, change the logo to the throwback, sell it at your store, and put up the pop-up stores. Look at last year with the rivalries uniforms. The line that day when they put them on sale at the stadium. This will be times 10. Remember the end of the movie, Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. You'll see a line of cars with lights on going to Hard Rock Stadium for like 24 hours straight. People buying this stuff. That's not a prediction. That, my friends, is a spoiler. And look, I might be getting ahead of myself here. They might not be making a big change. They might just be adding a stripe on like an arm or adding a little trim around the neck. And if they do that, I got one word. Boring. It's time. Stop wasting time. Time to go big. They have an opportunity to make a statement here. Do the right thing. Because the current logo and the current scheme and stuff uniforms is a symbol of losing. Bring it back to the old days. Bring back the iconic look. 99% of your fan base wants it. Give your fan base something to be happy about for once, because for 25 plus years, it sure as hell hasn't been the product on the field. Also, in Miami, you got Messi playing soccer, Giannis with the Heat, maybe LeBron. The Panthers recently won 2 Stanley Cups. The U just played in a national title game, and the Marlins aren't total dog shit anymore. Memo to the powers that be with the Miami Dolphins. You better do things to keep your fan base happy right now and cater to them, because you have a ton of competition in the market. And if you take those fans for granted and ignore their pleas and wishes for something so stupid as a new uniform look and possible logo, you get what you deserve. Let's right this wrong. Let's have the Miami Dolphins look like the Miami Dolphins again. I tried to tell y'all.
And there you have it.
Hey, Seth, I got a quick one. You know, I like using local talent. You know, Wendy lives actually in Fort Lauderdale from Wendy.
So that red hair, right?
Maybe we should bring her on as a consultant.
No, her house right on the water there, right there. I've been on a cruise right by and saw her house. Right next to your dad's house.
No, so what I'm saying is, maybe we should bring her on to the pod.
She's
like 70 now. Is her hair still red?
Only one way to find out.
Hey, Michael, tell us it is.
There's two ways, but that's not right, Chad. You need to stop that.
What is happening on this right here? Right.
Don't be vulgar on this show, Chad.
Before we get too far off the rails, that's why Michael Leva bats clean up. This was a great episode. Perk, thank you for getting us riled up 2 days ago. We've been looking forward to this.
Perk, executive producer, that was great.
I can't wait. A week from now, we're gonna, you know, like we're pretty close to actually start talking about what happened. Yeah. We'll see if Perk sticks with us once training camp.
You know he's gonna abandon me. He's a diva, man.
I'm gonna be here.
He's gonna be back. Well, you know what I mean? Say he used us for the summer, and now he's gonna be back with his.
We were a summer fling, Juice. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, we're seeing.
Now they got this long-term deal. He got this long-term deal now locked up.
Now that the condo repair is back on track, I'm gonna be out.
On that note, Juice, get us out of here, man. I am way over time.
Hey, everybody! Really, 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 thanks for diving in.
Dive up in that fish tank. Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one, of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank, go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.